This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. All flesh is as grass, Isaiah said, and the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth and fadeth away. But the word of our God, it shall stand, it shall last, it shall endure forever. Kinfolk, I want to take my message this morning from the verse 19 of Isaiah chapter 43, where he says, see, I am doing a new thing. And if I had to select a title for this message on this morning, I would simply entitle it, It's Your Thing. Do what you want to do. Now, for some of you all, you were in Sunday school on this morning, and we had an awesome discussion about God and his power, and the power that God has, and the power that he gives us, and our strength comes from God. And so I want to use as a theme, I want to talk about restoration this morning. As we come to the close of another year, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But I have two great truths I want to share with you, and you can write this down. Go ahead. I'll give you a minute. Get your pen, get your paper. While you're doing that, I want to thank all of the brothers who participated thus far in the service today. I want to thank my good friend, brother minister, pastor, brother Lopez, for his leadership through this most perilous of times. And for all of the congregation, for all of us, how we've come together and we've stuck and stayed together. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You've got your writing devices now? Here we go. Two great truths. God is in control. You ready for the second one? You are not. Now, you may be in charge down there on your job. You may think you're in charge in your house, but you are not in control. God is in control. And it's time for new beginnings. If there ever was a time for new beginnings, it's now. I know at least five of y'all can say amen to that. This has literally been a year for the record books. Every time you turn on the news, there is a new record. A new record of cases, a new record of hospitalizations, a new record of deaths. I mean, every day is something new that's going on. I mean, this has been almost needless to say, one of the most, and I think I heard Sister Foley say, use the word last week. She said, this has been one of the most tumultuous, I had to go look it up, turbulent, and I dare say troublesome of times I've ever witnessed. And not just because of the virus, as if that's not bad enough, but because of all of the division and vitriol of hatred being spewed across our country and our community, and the lack of leadership and the host of outright, not untruths, but just outright, you know how the old folks used to say, that's just a bald-faced lie. Coming directly from the highest office in the land. I think it's time for new beginnings. Listen, now, as negative as all that might sound, the good news is God, did y'all write it down? God is still in control, Warrior D, and you are not. God is still on the throne, and you are not. It doesn't matter who's in the White House as long as they stay out of God's house. Boy, you preaching now. God is still the great I am. God is still the way maker. He's still a transformer, a deliverer. He's still, He's still a forgiver and encourager. God is still in the restoration business. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. So here's what I want you to do. Let's put on our spiritual bifocals, and with one set of the lens, let's look back at the ancient and former days, and let's see how this old and ancient and familiar text for many applies to our contemporary world today. Because the word of God is both timely and timeless. Amen. Amen. A new year. I was thinking about that thing, and my daughter just had a little baby. I've become a grandfather for the second time. Praise the Lord. And I'm excited, and I know they're excited. And I was thinking to myself that a new year is like a new baby. Many changes will be necessary, some of which will be challenging, some rewarding, and some will be interrupting. But you see, that is the challenge of all new beginnings. You see, God has seasons for each of us to have new beginnings during our lives. We all need new beginnings. In fact, God's nature dictates a new beginning. The Bible is filled with instances of new beginnings. Just look in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Just after the time of creation, God identified seasons of new beginnings. He said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And after the flood, God set a rainbow in the sky to show that he had given a new beginning. The establishment of the Passover was a new beginning. In Exodus 12 and 2, he says, Exodus 12 and 2, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. A new start for Israel after the slavery of Egypt. When the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, God told them they had not passed this way before. He gave them a new beginning. We have not passed this way before. But I'm trusting that God is going to give us a new beginning. Remember when David sinned and repented? God gave him a new beginning. Jesus established a new covenant. We have a new testament, which was an opportunity for a new beginning. Peter sinned and repented, and God gave him a new beginning. One day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Every day, kinfolk, is a new beginning. And God thinks so much of you and I that he gives us a new beginning every morning, and that his mercies are renewed fresh every day. But now, however, I submit to you today for your consideration and deliberation that you can't truly enjoy a new beginning until you have first let go of the former things. In the text that we read, it said 18, verse 18 of Isaiah 43 and 18, he says, forget the former things. In verse 19, he says, I'm doing a new thing. So what I want us to focus on for the next few moments is forgetting some things. I think I'll just bring just 2 points. Forget some things, but then you have to focus on some new things. You have to forget some things and leave them in the past, but you have to focus on some new things if you're going to move forward with your future. You see, every now and then, you have to let some things go. You have to let go of the former things, and you must get past the past. You stay with me? You must get past the past and let the past, the P-A-S-T, P-A-S-S. Okay. Okay, y'all missed that thing. You have to let the P-A-S-T, P-A-S-S. Because God can't do anything new in your life as long as you keep looking back. Let me share some sage advice with you. And you can write this down. Let me share some sage advice with you. And here's why some sage advice. It had nothing to do with me saying this. As a matter of fact, somebody 90 years old told me this. And here's what he told me. I used to know a brother named Nathaniel Davis when I was growing up. And every time I would see this gentleman, every time I would see him all the way up into his 90s, he would say these two things to me. Son, just let it go. And then he'd say, don't hold on to it. I don't know why. Every time I would see him, Sister Allen, every time I would see him, he would say the same thing all my life. And it wasn't until I got older that I started to understand what he meant by it. Son, just let it go. Don't hold on to it. Sage advice number two. This comes from my pops. This is one of his favorite sayings. He's 85 years old. I take it to heart. Maybe this might help you. But here's what he'll tell me. Son, now, you know, that's how older folk talk to you. They always look at you. Son, just keep a walking and don't look back. If we can learn to let go of some stuff, just keep walking and don't look back. Now, I'm not talking about you forget the lessons of the past. What I'm saying is there's some stuff you got to let go of if you're going to embrace the future. Why do you think psychologists and counselors and therapists often tell folk in order to move forward with your future, you must first make peace? Don't say it. You can help preach this thing. Make peace with your what? Thank you. With your past. So just focusing on these two points. Forgetting the former things. And focusing on the new thing. Firstly, let's look at a familiar New Testament passage. Philippians 4:13. And then Philippians 3:13. So that's Philippians 4:13. And then there's Philippians 3:13. First, let's look at that at this old and familiar text that we find in the New Testament. And let's listen to what Paul has to say. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, you all know the text. You've been in Sunday school. He says, I can do what? All things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So in other words, the only power that I have to do anything has to come from Christ. That's where I get my strength. That's my source of power. Because remember, God is in control. I have to go through Christ to get the strength that I need. But here's the thing that you need to understand. Now, but here's why he was able to make that bold proclamation in chapter 4. Because of the stark realization he came to in chapter 3. Y'all ready for this? Philippians 3:13, one of the most preached sermons on New Year, on the last day of the year. I know Brother Lopez has preached it. I've preached it. Everybody preaching this right now because it's still true. Here's what Paul says. This is why he can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because brethren, I have not counted myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. In other words, I don't know it all, but one thing I do know, I need to forget some stuff, that stuff that's behind, and then reach forth unto those things which are before. First, you have to forget some things, leave those things behind, then start reaching forward. And then he says, and I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Listen to this. This is what Paul says. But there's one thing I do. I am single-minded about this. I'm devoted to this. I've got my mind made up about this. I am determined about this. I am convicted and convinced about this. I'm going to keep pressing toward the mark. I'm going to keep moving forward to the high calling of God. I'm going to keep pursuing God. I'm going to keep chasing hard after God. And I pray that I can keep chasing hard after God till I get to the point where I'm addicted to God. Because I got to be honest, kinfolk, I still find myself holding on to some former things, and it's preventing me from being addicted as I should to God. And maybe all of us, truth be told, we may be a little bit too addicted to this world that we live in today. I'm just saying. But now, in order to get that accomplished, in order to forget some things, you got to put some stuff in your rearview mirror. And Paul knew what he was talking about, because Paul had to forget being in the peril of the sword. He had to forget about being hungry, having nothing to eat. He had to forget about the pain of being almost beat to death. He had to forget about being thrown in a deep, damp, dark dungeon with no coat. He had to forget about being run out of town by his own kinfolk. He had to forget about being imprisoned unfairly. He had to forget about being shipwrecked. He had to forget about being caught up in the storm for 14 days, could not see the stars or the sun, and dark for 14 days. There are some things you're going to have to leave behind, kinfolk. Some pain, some hurts. I know this has been one of those years. Some hangups, some heartaches. If you are going to have a new beginning. We've lost loved ones this year. And I need you to understand, I lost my father this year. That's my hero. I understand the pain. And what I'm just simply sharing with you is this. I'm not asking you to forget it. I'm asking you to trust God to help you to get over it. Because God can help you to get past what you will never get over. There's some things you will never get over, the loss of loved ones. But God can help you to get past it. So Paul says, but there's one thing I do, which suggests that he wasn't doing it before. Maybe there's something you need to start doing as we go into 2021 that you weren't doing before. But understand, the reason why Paul was able to say that is because he had to learn it. Paul says, in spite of all these setbacks, in spite of all these challenges, in spite of all these interruptions, not that I speak in respect for want, what he says was, I have learned. In whatsoever state I'm in. In other words, in spite of all of these difficulties, no matter what my physical condition, I've learned to be content. Now listen to me. You have to be satisfied being a Christian to talk like that. I mean, you've got to be thankful to talk like that. You've got to be able to give glory in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of COVID and coughing. Say amen when you can. You've got to be able to give God thanks even when your job is gone. You have to be able to give thanks even when your house has been foreclosed. Even when your friends are talking about you, you still have to be able to say hallelujah anyhow. Now look through the lens of your biblical bifocals and let's see how this applies today. You see, even if I have to wear a mask, I'll be content. If I have to social distance, I'll be content. If I have to wash my hands, I'll be content. If I have to stay 6 feet apart, I'd rather be 6 feet apart than 6 feet under. Woo, boy, you preaching now. If I have to teach school online, I'll be content. If I have to go to school online, I'll be content. If I have to work online, just be glad you're not standing in the line. Say amen when you can. If I have to Zoom to get to worship, I'll be content. Until God says otherwise, I'll be content. If I have a roof over my head, food on my table, and I know my God is able, I'll be content. Kinfolk, there are some lessons in life you only learn by going through. question is, what lessons have you learned from 2020? What has God brought you through? I ain't talking about somebody else. I mean, what has God brought you through? I tell you what, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, I know God has brought you through. If you're on vitamins, vertical, and ventilating, I know God has brought you through. I know God has brought you through. If God has raised you off of your sick bed from a level of a dead level to a living perpendicular, I know God has brought you through. Some of you out there, just like myself, beginning of this year, I had no idea what COVID was. Let alone did I know that I would contract COVID. I'm wearing the mask. I'm doing all that I can. Kinfolk, listen, as you reflect back through the portfolio of God's goodness, as you flip through the files and the folders of your memory, remember the flames and the fires he's brought you through, and your clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Remember the floods he brought you through without getting wet. And this is what he was telling the children of Israel. Remember that. But here's what I want you to do. Forget all of that, because I'm still about to do something new. You thought that was something? That was just warm up for what I'm about to do next. That's because he is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. That's because God, okay, I told y'all, God is in, see if y'all was listening. You wrote it down. Thank you. In control. Amen. You can say amen in your house. Ain't nobody there but you. You can even shout if you feel like it. Can't put you out. Listen, let me share this with you as I work my way to this text. And then the lesson will be yours. Only two points. And the lesson will be yours. Think about this. Forgetting the former things, number one. Number two, focusing on the new thing. To walk into new beginnings, you have to leave the past behind. Forget the former things. We got all that. But that doesn't mean you leave the lessons of the past behind. But you leave behind those things that would draw you back. Some people never move on because they can't let go. The Israelites were living in captivity in the land of Babylon. When you go back and read the story, they were taken from the promised land because of the many sins against God. They were at the lowest point that a nation could go. Sound familiar? It felt as if the control had been taken from them. Another king gave them their orders, and another culture was forced on them. And now the Israelites were living in discouragement. But God spoke to his people through the prophet Isaiah, and that's why he told them, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old, because he's saying to them the same thing he's saying to us today. Don't let your past stunt your future, because it's time for new beginnings. They were so busy recollecting and recognizing and remembering the good old days. They were so busy trying to get back to normal that their today got filled up with memories of yesterday. We can be guilty of the same thing if we don't embrace the new normal, the now normal, the new beginning that God has brought us to. God has brought us to a new beginning, to where we can reach more people for the. We studied in Sunday school this morning that we are members of a new kingdom. So it's time we start acting like it. It's time we start doing new things and new ways. Listen, you remember that old rotary phone? You don't even have that in your house no more. Okay, let me calm down. Some of y'all may still have one in there. Don't tell me. Okay, I ain't mad at you. Okay, but we're not using rotary phones no more, folks. We're using this right here, okay? That's how we're communicating today. We've got to come out of the old and into the new and embrace it. And then secondly, let me just say this. So forgetting those former things, but we need to start focusing on the new. To walk into new beginnings, we need to start focusing on the new. To walk into new beginnings, you have to be focused and prepared for change. I think we talked about this in Sunday school about seeing. Your direction needs to be fixed. It needs to be focused on God, or else you miss it. And see, that's what he was trying to tell the children of Israel. Don't you see what I'm doing? Do you not see? Can't you perceive? You don't see it? I'm already doing it. I'm doing a new thing. The children of Israel did not keep their eyes on what God was doing. He was taking them to a land that was described as a land of milk and honey. They did not keep that in focus. They took the temporary things and complained, remembering only the past. The children of Israel did not see what God was doing. Instead, they were longing for leeks, garlic, and back in the good old days in Egypt. Listen, it is not about where you are or how comfortable you are. It is about where you are going. You won't ever move into God's best for your life if you don't leave the past behind and change your thinking and your focus. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The best things that God has for you are not in your past. The best things that God has for you are in your future. New beginnings are hard. Ask a newborn mother, ask mother of a newborn child, bringing that baby home for the very first time. Ask a father who looks like he knows what he's doing. He don't know what he's doing. Bless his heart. He's trying to figure it out. Both of y'all are trying to figure it out. It's not comfortable. It requires a great amount of energy. It requires that you readjust. Yes, it's exciting. It's a new opportunity, but they also have new challenges. But if you meet the challenges with what God gives you, God can allow you to do great things. Why? Because God is in control. Let me rush on to a close. Let me move on to a close. Let me just say this. There is something about the word new that just screams opportunity. It screams possibility. It screams excitement. Remember when we became the new Maywood Church of Christ? We were so excited. We was always emphasizing new. New, to the point that some folks were saying, when y'all gonna stop saying new? And I said, I pray that the newness never wears off. I'm always excited about what we're doing here at the Body of Christ, at the New Maywood Church of Christ. And I wanna encourage others to become a part of this. And now we have a new opportunity, a new way to reach not just Maywood, but the world. New Church. It is that way with God. If you will embrace the change, if you will embrace the new, it will be good. Maybe not comfortable, not always easy, but the new will be good. God took the children of Israel through the wilderness to help them to change their mentality. We're going through this pandemic. You need to be able to change your mentality. Similarly, God has brought us through the wilderness wanderings of this year to show us, kinfolk, he is still in control. Lord, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. But Lord, if you're doing a new thing, if you're doing a new thing, don't do it, Lord. Don't do it without me. Listen, church, as I close, the Lord wants to restore you. I told you this is a message of restoration. The story of the children of Israel is that God wanted to restore them. But the way that he was going to restore them was not how they thought they were going to be restored. And that's why he said, I'm going to make a way through the desert. Remember, y'all came through the Red Sea and then I carried you through the wilderness because you weren't ready to carry you through the wilderness because you weren't ready to go the short route. But now I'm going to bring you back through the wilderness. And this time I'm going to make rivers and streams for you to drink from. You won't even have to worry about it. God wants to restore you. Question is, Do you want to be restored? Or you want to keep going in the same direction you was in last year? Kinfolk, it's time to move forward. You see, the idea of restoration is also a medical term. Remember when you, if you broke a bone and the doctor says, I want to restore it. The idea of restoration is that I can make whatever was broken better. Maybe there's something in your life you need restored. Maybe there's something in your life you need renewed. The theological term for that in the New Testament is resurrection. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He died for you. He died for me. So that when we go through times like we're going through now, like we've been through this year, that we can have hope that there's restoration, that there is renewal. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, then I'm not talking to you. You see, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, watch this, he is, hear the verbiage, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. God wants to make you new on this day. If you have not been addicted to God as you should, if you have not been following hard after God as you should, look here, I ain't pointing a finger at you. There's much more I know I need to be doing. I'm examining my own self right now. What do you need restored or renewed in your spiritual life is the question as we move forward. What do you need restored? What do you need renewed? God can resurrect the dead. He can surely restore or renew whatever's going on in your life, whatever loss you may be dealing with, whatever pain you may be going through. In this chapter, the Lord comforts his people by his divine foresight because he perceived, he already knew that a great and very trial was coming their way. And therefore, he prepares them for the ordeal. God has prepared you and I to go boldly into 2021. Spurgeon said, as I close, should not the trembling ones listen to the voice of their God and obey it when he said to them, fear not, God is in control. Listen, kinfolk, as I close, this is my final close. This is a new beginning for us. New Maywood. To put the former things behind us. God has given us a new day. He's given us a new way. Through this new digital age that we're in, we can reach more souls again and disciple more people than ever. Not just for the growth of the church, but for the expansion of the kingdom of God here on earth. And if you don't have a relationship with God today, with Jesus, it's time for a new beginning. Let me tell you that you are missing something great because he's the great transformer, the great deliverer, the great forgiver, the great encourager. He is the great restorer. He is the great I am. He can take your life right where you are and bring about a new beginning. But you have to let go of the past. That's the best I can do, kinfolk. I pray that God will continue to bless you and bless you real good as we go into this next year. And we can truly say, Happy New Year. And I turn you back over to the hands of the brothers at this time.